hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Everybody in the house, we want that fresh anointing. That fresh anointing. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house in the presence of the Lord this morning? Amen, amen. You may be seated. Really, very quickly, do we have any veterans that are here this morning? Would you stand to your feet, please? Any veterans? Anybody who's been a veteran? I want to give you a hand clap of praise. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your dedication. Because of men and women like you, we are allowed to do what we do right here and now. And I thank you for your service. I want to talk this morning, preach this morning, teach, whatever, about God's reckless men of valor. I'm going to talk about Jephthah. God's reckless men of valor. If you would stand for the reading of the word this morning. Judges 11, starting with verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was a son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did ye not hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you coming to me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. In order to save some time, I'd like to skip down to verse 32. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them unto his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities. And unto the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. She was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. I would like for you to say that with me. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Dear Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Lord, give our hearts a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, O Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak today, that I speak in love and in your will. I'm asking that your convicting, loving, merciful power would come in this place and touch our hearts. I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, bump your neighbor and say, let's have revival. Amen. This story that I've just read to you this morning, I know it was a long passage. I promise my sermon will be shorter than my scripture text this morning. But I have a point. God's been dealing with me with some stuff this week, some situations that have been going on in people's lives that I've been working with. And God has given me a word, and I am excited to deliver it this morning. But this story that we are looking at in the Word of God is set in the days of the pioneers. Israel was a fairly new nation at this time, and they were settling in the land of promise and the promised land. And most of them were either ranchers or herders or cattlemen, shepherds, farmers of some sort. But they had a big problem. And their borders were insecure. They almost at any time, in the daytime or the nighttime, while they were with their family sleeping, fierce, savage tribes would sweep across those borders, killing and looting and leaving death and devastation wherever they went. That's why Israel always had to have a Gideon or a Samson, or in this case, a Jephthah in the background. Jephthah the bandit. He was an outlaw. He was the son of a prostitute. His father was a playboy. And when he became a teenager, his brothers threw him out of the house and said, you're not going to inherit anything. You're not one of us. You're not going to get any of our father's wealth or possessions. And according to the Israelite history or the Israelite law, Jephthah would have gone to the elders of Israel to plead his cause. Say, hey, I'm this man's son, and they're throwing me out, and I'm not going to inherit anything. They're leaving me destitute and broken. What's going on? It's not right. And instead of finding mercy, all he found was closed doors and hardened hearts. Finally, he made his way to a cave. And there he spends the next years of his life as an outlaw. Jephthah took in everybody. He took in the prodigal sons. He took in the illegitimate, the rejected, the failures, the broken, the rebels, the miserable. Anybody who needed somebody, he was there for them. And he took them in. He listened to their stories and he turned them none of them away. He kept them all in his presence and in his service. He put them into his service and he began to train them and work with them. And Jephthah turned those people into one of the finest armies that Israel ever had. He put to flight the armies of aliens, and he became known as the youngest judge that Israel ever had. He is mentioned in the gallery of heroes in Hebrews 11. It's a story of rags to riches. It's a story of the outlaw becoming the sheriff, the judge, the ruler of a whole nation. Jephthah. Jephthah. Now this morning, I would like to ask you a question. Every one of you, I would like to ask you a question. What's your excuse for not serving the Lord? What's your excuse for not serving the Lord? What's your reason for not making a success of Christian living? Well, Brother Chris, I had a miserable home life. My parents never read the Word to me, and I don't really know what the Bible says. There was no family altar in our home. I wasn't taken to church. I've been hurt by Christians. You just don't understand. The church failed me. Church leaders let me down. They disappointed me. I have too many responsibilities, Brother Chris. The church requires too much dedication. Do you realize you have a service at 9:30 and 10:30 and on Tuesday night? I just can't cope with that schedule. Some people at church hurt my feelings. Can you believe they said that to me? They didn't like my orange tie with my brown suit and my white and blue and yellow striped shirt. I can't live for God now. Well, the pastor corrected me. I wasn't included in that program, and don't you know my little Sally Sue was the best part? She could have played that part so well. Why didn't she get that part? My spouse doesn't want me to go to church. I just can't do it. And the list of excuses can go on and on and on and on and on. But do you know something? You will stand in final judgment one day. All of us will. We're all going to stand in final judgment. And no matter what excuse you've ever used or had told to you, you're going to stand in final judgment. And I just think God, with the sense of humor that he has, maybe he's going to take out a big scale and he's going to put old Jephthah on one side. He's going to put some of us on the other side. He's going to say, well, Jephthah's mother, she was a prostitute, and his father, he was a playboy, and his brothers threw him out of the house. He wasn't welcome in his own house. And the church, oh, by the way, the church turned its back on him. They rejected him. But in spite of it all, the Spirit of God came on Jephthah. That's what the scripture said. The Spirit of God came on Jephthah. He became a mighty man of valor, a hero in the kingdom of God. Do you remember reading of a man by the name of Elijah? He stood alone on Mount Carmel and faced the flashing steel of 450 false prophets of Baal. He said, if God be God, let's worship him. But if Baal be Baal, let's throw in the towel and serve him. And God sent fire upon that altar of the lonely prophet, and he vindicated him. Yes, he did, because he is God. Can I tell you this morning, he's God of your situation. He's God of your problems. He's God of your needs. Just keep on being committed to God. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never fail you. The Bible tells us of a man that for 500 years and for another 120 years that he found grace. His name was Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When nobody else would serve God, Noah walked with him. How can any man or woman say, I'm alone, I'm deserted, when you walk with God? It's impossible, because God will walk with you. He'll stick to you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's not going to throw you out. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He's going to be there for you. Now, you might turn your back on him, but God is not going to forsake you or leave you or desert you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hallelujah. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my victory. The Lord. The Bible says this, the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Even your faith. It's not a particular religion or doctrine or songs that are sung or encouragement from friends, but this is the victory that will get you through. Your faith, your faith, your faith. You're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You had to have a trial in order to have a testimony. You had to have faith that you were going to make it through in order to receive the victory. And when you got the victory, you're an overcomer. Your faith. So in this scripture that we've read, there's a tribe called Ammon who was bigger than Israel. They were tougher than Israel. They were better fighters than the children of Israel were. And those elders of Israel, they trembled at the very thoughts of this tribe coming. They had no defense. They couldn't protect themselves. Have you ever been in that position personally where you just didn't know what else to do? You didn't know where else to turn. You didn't know how to get through that trial. That's where these guys were. And then somebody had an idea. Up in a cave in Tob. That word Tob, it actually means good. That's what it means. So out of all the bad things that Jephthah had to him, he found a good place to live. Somewhere in Tob was a mighty man, a mighty fighter by the name of Jephthah. So the delegation starts out, a long-robed process and group of religious leaders making their way through the hill country right up to Tob. Their hearts are pounding. They're excited. They're nervous. They stop every few miles to hold counsel. Are we doing the right thing? And finally they come to the outpost, and two guards stand watch. And who is at the head of the procession that is going to see Jephthah? The chief
elder, the man that Jephthah had gone to when his brothers had thrown him out of the house. Now he is standing there ashen-faced and worried and trembling. And the old man goes up to the cave. And as he walks into the encampment, a beautiful young girl comes out to meet him. And she anoints his head with oil. And she washes his feet. And she is the daughter of Jephthah. And she seats him in the chief seat. She prepares venison and sets it before him. And Jephthah comes out and he listens patiently to the tale of woe, to his certainty over the defeat of a whole nation. And in this story, we find a few lessons that we need to take note of and learn. First of all, God will rectify your injustices in His own time, by His own means, if you'll put them in His hands. He will rectify every injustice in His own time, by His own means, if you will put them in His hands. Yes, He will. If you can trust God to deliver you in times of trouble, why can't you trust Him to defend you in times of misunderstanding? Does God justify the injustices of His people? Well, let's look at the scripture and let's look at some key people throughout the scripture. Just take Joseph, for example. He spent years in jail for a crime that he did not commit. He went to jail on an accusation. Yeah, but he held true to God. He held true to God and he resisted bitterness. And one day he's sitting on the throne of Egypt, number two man in control, and 11 men show up worn out and hungry. They were his brothers, and Joseph looked them in the eye with tears running down his face and said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Oh yeah. Ask Job. He had plagues, he had poverty. He went from John D. Rockefeller to Skid Row just like that. He went from having children everywhere to death's door. Do you know what his comforters said? They said probably what some of your comforters will say. "Well, Job, there must be a secret sin in your life, buddy. You did something that you're not telling us. The law of the harvest is just catching up with you, buddy. Job, you must be reaping some of them wild oats that you've sown through the years. But in all this, God says, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. But in the end of the story, Job had twice as much of everything, and the whole world came to see that Job was a friend of God. Can I tell you this morning, don't you give up. Don't you stop living for God. Don't you stop trying. Don't you stop pushing and trying to make a way for your family. Don't you stop praying. Don't you give up on that lost loved one or friend or co-worker. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep believing. Keep trusting. No matter what comes your way, tell the devil to get behind you in the name of Jesus and to leave you alone. Ask the greatest example of all, Jesus. Yeah, ask Jesus. They spat in his face. They pulled his hair. They slapped him, they beat him, they crucified him. The world said, "He's weak, he's guilty, crucify him." He died, but he rose again. Oh, yes, he did. He rose again to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Learn this lesson this morning. Leave your case in the Master's hands and let him vindicate and rectify your injustices. He'll do it every time. The next lesson we need to learn: to forgive when you are in a position of strength rather than afflict. When Saul was trying to kill David, David found Saul asleep in a cave. It would have been easy to kill Saul. Probably everyone around him told him he was foolish to let Saul live. "Man, he's been chasing you all over the country for years. What are you doing? Don't do that. Kill him." But God said, "Touch not the Lord's anointed. I'll take care of this." And David walked out of that cave and spared Saul's life. Did God vindicate David? Oh, yeah, he did. He took care of Saul. He enthroned David on the throne, and he made him the greatest king that ever ruled Israel. Forgive. 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 Don't hold on to anger. Don't hold on to bitterness. We all get frustrated. We all have things that rub us the wrong way sometimes. Would you forgive them? If you've done somebody to somebody, would you just go to them and say, would you forgive me? Forgive. The last lesson, make your word sweet today. Because you're probably going to have to